Blessed good morning, Barbados. Good morning to everyone in Radio Land. Welcome to the Because He Lives program, which is brought to you by our sponsor, Federal Motor Spirits Limited. My name is Shea Branch, a representative from the City Zone Youth Department of the Church of the Nazarene. And we consider it a special privilege to share the gospel news with you under our team, Rebuild, Retool, Reposition. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today, Lord, to give your name praise, Lord. You know, as our team for this broadcast is Rebuild, Retool, and Reposition, I pray, Lord, that every listening ear that hears the devotion, hear everything that comes with your broadcast, that it will impact everyone's life, Lord, that everyone will be changed for the better, Lord, that seeds will be planted, that your Holy Spirit can water and grow, and that can blossom into beautiful trees and beautiful fruits into the future. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
A pleasant good morning, everyone, tuned into this morning's radio broadcast. This morning's scripture reading is taken from Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 6 to 15, and it reads, "So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. For the people had a mind to work. Now it happened, when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build a wall. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was, when the Jews who were dwelt near them came, that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened, when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. It is a joy to observe children as they play with their building blocks. Block after block is carefully mounted until an intricate or simple structure is erected, much to the delight of the little builder. If the child is building a tower, he carefully balances each block on the other, trying to get it as tall as possible. Excitement builds as the tower sways and the child tries to stabilize his invention. When it comes crashing down, the child shrieks in delight and the process starts all over again. This is fun for children, but was nothing comical when the walls in Nehemiah's day were destroyed. Rebuilding was necessary because they protected the Israelites from their enemies. Rebuilding is an uphill struggle, but when there is a united effort and the determination to get the job done, then the process becomes easier. Nehemiah had a group of dedicated workers who also had an interest in seeing the walls rebuilt, and so they worked with all their hearts. But there was an enemy who did everything to ensure that the walls remained broken. So Satan used Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod. They were not pleased and did everything in their power to distract the builders. They plotted and they stirred up trouble. But Nehemiah and his team knew whom they could turn to. So they prayed to God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Today, I am throwing out a challenge to you. What is it in your life that needs to be rebuilt? Is it a relationship, your health, a dream, a damaged emotion? Has it been broken for so long that you have given up hope? Do you believe that you cannot restore it? These words are injected into your mind by the enemy. He wants to keep you stunned and paralyzed. Remember, the scenario I gave you earlier about the children with building blocks. When the blocks came crashing down, the children, they refocused and they rebuilt. Let us examine Nehemiah's situation. Take a page from his book. Learn some valuable lessons to keep us through life when our walls have crumbled, and then refocus and rebuild. First, Nehemiah and his team recognized that they had a problem. This is the first step to getting help. You cannot move forward if you fail to acknowledge that you have a problem. You cannot conquer if you fail to recognize that you need help. Examine yourself. Remove your pride and declare, I have a broken wall that needs to be repaired. Secondly, they prayed. They did not throw their hands in the air in desperation. They did not fret and complain. They did not slither away in fear either. They turned to God, the only source whom they knew could help them. Whatever you are currently going through, turn to God right now. Perhaps you have tried many other sources and all of them have failed. Why not take your situation to God, your best bet? Thirdly, Nehemiah did not just pray. He was working all along. He posted a guard to be on the lookout in case the enemies attack. Therefore, while you are praying, get busy. Make a phone call. Talk to that person where the relationship is strained. If your relationship with God is not what it ought to be, make wrong things right immediately. God wants your relationship with Him to be rebuilt. If your health is being jeopardized, take charge. Start eating right. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the house in which God resides should be healthy. And if someone has hurt you, perhaps a trusted friend, your emotions need to be rebuilt. Let go of your anger and your unforgiveness. God is willing and able to restore you emotionally, but it must start with you. God will not force you into trying to get your help. Fourthly, in all the rebuilding, Nehemiah was the person who was in charge, giving the necessary encouragement where possible. Maybe you are so beaten down that you need an encouraging word. Find a trusted friend. There are many out there who have the gift of encouragement. They will not flatter you, but they will see your value and worth and encourage you to return to the fight. Christians are to help each other. Someone is out there who is willing to help you to rebuild. Finally, the walls were rebuilt. The enemy stood on the outside looking in. The children of Israel finally had their protection back. And so, with God's help, you also can get back what you have lost. Rebuild what you had before and be protected from the enemy. And the same way the wall forced Sanballat and Tobiah to stay on the outside and look in, when you have rebuilt your walls, Satan would have no choice but to stay on the outside.
Thank you, Sister Janine, for that session on rebuilding. You know, I just want to say here that when Nehemiah arrived at that scene at Jerusalem, he would have seen walls that were broken, a place ravished, ruined, blackened rocks. He would have seen absolute rubbish. And even when we perhaps would have looked at that war-ravished nation of Ukraine, it might have given us an idea of what Jerusalem would have looked like. Walls and buildings that were once beautiful reduced to debris. We are, however, grateful and thankful to God the Father that He can make something beautiful out of our lives, that He can indeed give us beauty for ashes. Young people, I want to repeat that God can make something beautiful out of your life. The song says, all my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. Praise God. As mentioned before, our theme is rebuild, retool, and reposition. So let's consider what is retooling. The simple definition of retooling is to organize something in a new and different way to improve it. And you know, during the pandemic, when we were stuck in our houses and we could not go to church, could not go to school, we saw businesses and schools having to rearrange or adjust their normal way of doing things so that work could continue for the better. So instead of face-to-face schooling, you had to do school online. And truly, I never thought the day would come when I would hear a young person say, I am just tired of looking at screens. I am tired of this online thing. I need a break. But it did happen. And then you get to order your fast food and chicken and fries and pizza online to be delivered straight to your home. New words such as teleworking and Zoom entered into our vocabulary. They then become familiar to us. Life was rearranged with the view of making it better. All this was done in response to a need, in response to a crisis, in response to our protection, our security, our future. Nehemiah had enemies. The builders' lives were at risk. So he too had to do some retooling, some rearranging. These walls represented their security, protection, safety, peace, dare I say, their future. So in verse 13, we see where the wall was lowest and the enemy could gain entry, that he arranged people with their families at these walls. He arranged people with their families. Family speaks of oneness. The family speaks of unity. Surely if you think that somebody is going to attack or come and harm your family member, there will be more passion and more drive to defend. Families were placed at the lowest point, at the highest point, so that the enemy cannot gain entry. Friends, we have an enemy that is after our young people. We have an enemy that is after our families. And if he dares destroy the family, he will destroy our society. You know, in Nehemiah chapter 3, we see that one of the builders of the wall was a perfume maker. Talk about readjustment. Talk about a retooling. His hands must have been so tender. I know he has to dig through rubble and debris and be bruised and cut. And not only that, he had to arm himself. When we look at verse 13, the families were armed with tools of war. So there were tools of work and there were tools of war. Spear, sword, bows. Perhaps the perfume maker never even used a sword, you know? And when we think of the Ukraine president who had to engage in the fight for his country, as a soldier. He was an actor, by the way. But now there was a call to arms, a call to fight, because of future sovereignty was at stake. The enemy is real. He is a clear and present danger. And today, this message goes out to those who will be willing to retool their hearts, who will be willing to retool their minds on behalf of our young people, on behalf of our young men, who will be willing to say, let me start back Sunday school, who will be willing to say, let me teach NYI, let me go to youth service, let me see how I can support these young people in my community. Let me see how I can engage them so that I can tell them about Jesus Christ. Today, this message goes out to those who are really, really tired of seeing our young men die before they even reach 30 years old. Some of them we know by name, and it hurts. And so we cannot do business as usual. We have to take up tools. We have to retool. We have to go beyond ourselves, beyond the ordinary, the tasks that we are accustomed doing, that we feel comfortable doing. We will have to step out and arm ourselves and engage in tasks not familiar to us. We will have to stand at the lowest, breaching the walls of our society and on the highest of heights so that we will be able to save these young people, these young men, these young ladies for the glory of God.
So what are the tools? Some of our gifts, our talents, our abilities may need rearranging, readjusting, sharpening so that we will be able to do the work that God has caused us to do. We thank the Lord for those Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, and ministers, persons who have used their time, talent, abilities to support the youth.
Young person, young man, young woman, there is an enemy who is out to destroy you. The Bible says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He is not your friend. He does not like you. He wished to see you in hell, and he will do everything to see you go there. But there is Jesus who has come to give you an abundant life. And I pray that you would receive him in your heart, that you would accept him as your Lord and Savior, that he will become a friend to you, because he only wants the best things for you, and that is to know him. To know him is eternal life. I pray that this message challenge our hearts and that we will indeed rethink and retool, readjust, and rearrange for the glory of God.
Good morning. My name is Cara Paris. Today, I will be speaking on the topic of repositioning. The English dictionary defines reposition as to put in a new or different position, or to shift. Today, I want to use Moses as an example of how God shifted and repositioned him. The account of Moses can be found in the book of Exodus. Now, Moses was living a secluded life in the desert, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. Probably nothing much would have been happening around him. He was a Hebrew who was raised in Pharaoh's palace. He had to flee because one of the Egyptians died at his hands as he sought to protect one of his Hebrew people, who were slaves to the Egyptians. It is at this point he fled to the desert in Midian, where he lived for some time. It is at this point that he encountered God, who spoke to him through a burning bush. God repositioned him by appointing him to be the deliverer of his people. My friends, we can see that God was willing to take Moses, who was first a prince, now a shepherd, to reposition him to be a great leader among the Hebrews, causing them to be delivered from slavery. I want to encourage you this morning by letting you know this is a great way to see that no matter where we are in life, God has a way to reposition us and cause us to come into alignment with his will and purpose. God can take you from where you are and place you where he wants you to be. As you know, Moses went on to be one of the greatest people in history. And God can use you to be great as well if you would seek to be in the center of God's will. God bless you. At this time, we will have a ministry by Tiffany Yearwood. She will bless you with a song.
Thank you. over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, oh, as my God move, I speak the name, 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside will flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I speak the name of all authority, declaring blessings, every promise He is faithful to keep. I speak the name no grace could ever hold. He is greater, He is stronger, He's the God of possible. I pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside will flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, come believe it, come receive it. The power of your spirit is now forevermore. Circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside will flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Before we go, we would like to offer up a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for sending your word, giving us your words. I pray, dear God, that our hearts will be encouraged and challenged, that we will no longer be saying, not me and then young people, I have nothing to do with them, but we will see where we can stand in the gap for them, where we can rebuild, and where we have to retool, and where we have to reposition, where we will have to go outside ourselves, outside of the normal, to do the work that you have called us to do, in Jesus' name. We want to take this opportunity to thank you listeners for tuning into this Because He Lives program, and we want to thank our sponsors once again, Federal Motor Spears. We invite you to join us next week, where you would hear from another arm of the Nazarene Youth Department. See you next week. God bless.